KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Major.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
This is the part where Kevin no longer carries the show, and I have this one segment.
Why do you keep saying that?
To do my thing. So here's the thing. I have...
Peyton does a run sheet, and we just do what he says.
That's how it's always been. Would you do a show like that? If a producer walked in and handed you a piece of paper and said, talk about these things, and
sure. You
had nothing, you had no idea, you just walked in and you went, all right, here we go.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be as good because it'd just be some like manufactured BS.
Have to Google everything.
Yes, By the way, what I learned in the break is somebody goes, you know Harvard's endowment's like $50 billion?
Good God.
It is $57 billion.
I think it's $56.9 billion.
That's... Okay.
Short of 57.
All right. And then Yale's at 44. What the crap? I think it's like so they could fund it forever.
What's an endowment?
It's like money you have waiting that will be used, I'm assuming, for a specific cause of keeping Harvard and Yale going forever if all the money dried up or, I don't know, we stopped using money. I guess that wouldn't work either. How far away are we from
this?
This
is the money that you've earned from the students?
Some of it, but I think a lot of it, donor money too? I think a lot of it comes in via donations and stuff from rich Harvard.
So if you have a lot, so like if you're Harvard, you're very well endowed.
Look, man, that's one of the beautiful things about going to Harvard. It could be as small as all get out, but you can be like, I went to Harvard. So what's
endowment,
up?
Endowment, that is.
Yeah.
I got three things here. One, a hilarious small story.
Ooh.
Two, a heartfelt story. Three, role play. Which one would you guys want to do first?
I'm going to vote for hilarious.
All right. Alec, your thoughts?
I'm always going to vote for role play.
Oh, man, this makes it tough. So I'm going to start with hilarious. We'll get to role play in just a minute.
Is this sports role play?
It's definitely sports role play. If that's how you like it, I don't know. My oldest, Avery, turned 18 on January 1st.
This is a funny story.
My middle son, Carter, is 14. And now every single time Avery complains about something or asks for something, Carter will walk by and go, you're a grown man living in your parents' house. Get a job. And I think it's the funniest thing to hear him say
while he's still in high school.
And that Avery looked at me and was like, but I'm still in high school. And I was like, he's got a point, though. You could be out on your own.
Yeah.
It would be nice if you'd get a job.
Yeah.
But he was sitting on the couch. Carter went to get a glass of water, walked through the living room. Look at that grown man sitting there on his parents' couch. Get a job. And just went back to his room.
God.
He just bought it. He bought himself a computer. Carter did, because he earns money. He does some things that earn money, and
earn money from professional trolling? That kid knows how to troll
somebody. He does. Yes, he does. He is he's good at what he does. The second one, are y'all ready for the role play?
I mean, I know Alec is, so.
Yep.
All right.
Tell me about it.
Do you want to be Steven or Jerry Jones?
At the end of the day, I think I'll pick to be Steven.
All right. Alec, this will make you Jerry Jones. Here is the scenario. You have to convince and sell Brian Flores why he wants this job as the defensive coordinator instead of being the head coach of the Raiders with Tom Brady over there and potential first-round pick Fernando Mendoza. Fernando! So, Steven, I'm going to give Jerry just a minute. He's going to be the closer here. But, Steven, I'm Brian Flores. I am here because you guys reached out to my agent and said I needed to take an interview. I'm interested in it, but I have the chance to be a head coach. Why should I be your defensive coordinator instead of sticking around in Minnesota?
You know, at the end of the day, we're really all about execution. And if I can borrow from Brett the Hitman Hart, I have heard that you are the excellence of execution. And so I think at the end of the day, it's just like anything else. We'd love to have, he says that too. We would love to have you here. You don't want to go stick with Vegas. What's going to happen? Tom Brady's going to come in there and tell you what to do all the time. I mean, he won 7 championships. Is that what you want to be held to? Are you kidding me? We haven't done jack S here for 30 years. Are you going to get fired? No. Am I going to get fired? Double no. Jerry's not going to get fired. We get to the divisional round. That's a parade for us, okay? You want to enjoy the environment of lowered expectations, and that is Arlington and Frisco, Texas, neither of which are the actual name of the franchise, because we are the Dallas Cowboys, and that is why you should come here.
I really kind of think you should have been Jerry, because that was confusing as hell, but...
I wish I would have been Jerry, too. Can I
hold on, I got one follow-up question. How much pie do you have for my side of the ball? Because I don't think you have the players.
Let me tell you something right now, Brian Flores. When you're hanging out with me in this organization, you're never going to be short of pie.
All right. I'm going to go down the hall.
That's your own fault. That is your own fault.
All right. And seriously, 877-881-1053, text in if you're Jerry or Steven and you're trying to convince the best defensive coordinator potential out there to come to the Cowboys, where you've had 30 years of lack of success,
yeah.
You haven't invested on that side of the ball,
sure.
And you've had a bunch of turnover at that spot. What are you telling this guy that's going to make him say, this is the place that I want to be? 877-881-1053. All right, Jerry. I just talked to Steven. I'm confused.
Oh, yeah, because that's the guy that's going to clear it up
for
you.
Can you bring some clarity to why I should be the Dallas Cowboys' next defensive coordinator instead of taking another job where I might have more potential to win?
Well, Brian, I've got all this spread room that I keep telling everybody about. And I plan on using it on that side of the ball right there. You know why? I went and added Quinnen Williams. Got you a nice big man up front. You can run that 5-man defensive front. That kind of sort of worked. You know what else I can do? I got 2 first-round picks. I could draft for you. Or better yet, I could go get you Max Crosby.
Look at that. Smart. Why and go then, to Vegas? Why go to Vegas with Max
I'll bring
Crosby?
Vegas to you. I'll bring Vegas to you because he is the one redeeming quality about that franchise. Not even Tom Brady can save it. I'll bring you all these pieces. The offense, you don't even got to worry about them holding up their end of the deal. They were one of the best in the league last year. You come in, I add pieces to your end of the pie, and we sweeten it up just a little bit, and you do what you do best, which is be the boogeyman.
Be the boogeyman!
Be the boogeyman of the NFL. I'll give you all the pieces you could ever ask for, and then don't get me started about the perks that come with being a Dallas
Not
Cowboy.
Not really sure what you mean there.
Yeah, you're going to be immortal.
Perky.
You're never going to pay for anything in this city. You know, we got Cowboys Fit down the street if you want to go get a workout in. You know, we got the Cowboys Club if you want a nice meal.
Or a drink.
Yeah, or a nice drink. Everything. And then you hop on Cowboys Crosstalk with Corey Majors, you know,
it's
and
true.
Bobby Belt. That would be great.
Probably not
take
Kevin,
pictures
though.
In there.
Yeah, don't take pictures.
Yeah, that's right.
I will say the one thing he forgot was telling us a story about living above the grocery store convenience store.
The only other selling point I would have gone with is you have a lawsuit with the NFL. Are you kidding me? I run the NFL. I'll get that thing taken care of in a heartbeat.
Kevin, that has absolutely crossed my mind. If you want to take that next step, I'll vouch for you. And I don't know, I think that's a crap thing to have and hold over somebody, but I've already thought that that's got to be somewhere in that world.
Yeah.
When it comes to this. The dude's an excellent coach. He's shown that he can stop offenses. He's shown that he can stop some of the best offenses in the NFL. You want to go get a guy like that, that's for sure. Jim Schwartz is a great option too, but that's the same sell. These guys know that they can do other things.
Yeah.
Why do I want to come to the Cowboys where it's been this kind of turnover and I don't think you have the players? You got to convince me that you're about to go spend and you're actually going to spend on the players that I want you to bring into this organization. That's what the Cowboys have in front of them. Here's the other thing too. I'm also, if I'm Brian Flores and I know this is sacrilege, but I'm asking why you haven't been able to draft defensive players.
Okay.
Mozzie Smith failed.
Yeah.
Marvion Overshown's been injured. I know that Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons were great hits. Osa's your best one that you've had in quite some time. And that's not enough. So what is it with your scouting? What do I need to do to help your scouting department?
Yeah.
If that's one of the problems there. So that's one of the big factors. I appreciate you guys playing that game with me. Kevin, I told you this story a little bit on Sunday.
I like this story.
This is a heartfelt story. Andretti's. Andretti's is in Grandscape. And it was my middle son Carter's birthday. And we went to Andretti's for his birthday to go car racing. Now, I know that Lucy has some limitations. Adrian was very confident. She was like, Lucy's going to be fine. And I was like, man, I'm kind of curious about this because I've seen it. It's a little faster pace. She takes a little time to process. So we said, all right. So we sent her in there with her brothers, Avery and Carter, and one of Carter's friends. They all go in there. They do the training session. They get in. Adrian and I head upstairs to watch. We didn't realize there was another track. So we were like, where are they? Well, then my phone rings, and I look out behind me through the glass window, and Avery and the two boys are walking together, and he's like, hey, we finished. Where are y'all? And I was like, oh, we're upstairs. Where's Lucy? And he said, I don't know. She was kicked out at the beginning of the race. And I was like, holy crap. My first thought, obviously, this is a busy place. Arcade, chaos going on all around, VR all over the place. And Lucy, I know when she gets, if she was told to leave, she did it. She complied. But now where did she go? So I ran to the front door to stand there just to kind of play safety net and see if anything came through. As I'm standing there, I see an employee walk by and I tell them, hey, my daughter has a disability and we don't know where she is right now. She says, come on inside. We'll talk to the manager here and see what's going on. While I'm there, the guy that's wearing the shirt that says crew chief on the back, his name's Eddie. Eddie at Andretti's, I love that guy, all right? Send a shout out to Eddie, everybody. He goes, hey, let me go look at the computer. I can see what time her race was, what happened, and ask questions on the track.
Yeah.
I said, awesome, let's do that. So we start walking. I'm telling him, look, she has a disability. Here's what's going on there. He was like, okay, look, man, we have people with autism come in all the time. And he's like, so let me see what I can do. As we're rounding the corner, Adrian has found Lucy. All right, Lucy, what happened? What went wrong? And evidently, as I kind of was concerned about, she kept pushing both pedals at the same time. And so because the employees have a clock, these guys could run for like 5 minutes. That's about it. They needed her to move, or they weren't thinking. They didn't know she had a disability either.
Sure.
So I'm sitting there going, all right, well, I guess we'll get our money back for Lucy and we'll be good to go. And he's like, no, hold on. Let me come over here real quick. And he comes up, he types some stuff up, and he goes, all right, I have a block at 3:00. She can race by herself. We'll shut down the entire track. She can drive by herself, and that way she has all sorts of room to make mistakes,
yeah,
bump into walls, whatever it is. She can do it by herself. And I was like, man, I'm not sure we're going to be here at that time. He goes, here's my card. Here's my email. You email me anytime y'all want, you come back. I'm not just going to give you, I want her to have this experience
of
fun.
That's nice.
And so he goes, hold on, I just found another time slot before then. You want that? Yeah, absolutely. So the cool part is that Eddie, the crew chief at Andretti's, thank you so much, was thinking outside of the box. That's really cool. Instead of being like, sorry, here's your money, we're busy, see you later.
Yeah.
He was thinking outside of the box. Next thing, he had his entire staff standing at points on the track for her so that whenever she steered wrong, they could help her steer out of it. After the first lap, she got it. All she needed was just a second, a split second, or just a little bit of practice in an environment that she's not used to. All she needed was that. And then they helped her. Then they ran behind her as she was racing around the track. and she finished. And I looked over at Avery at one point, and he looked at me, and this kid doesn't say stuff like this because his brother's always beating him down with get a job.
Yeah.
And he says, "This makes my heart smile, Dad."
That's nice.
And I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. Thank you so much to Eddie and the crew at Andretti's for what they did. And for anybody out there, it sounds like from what they told me, they do things like that for people with disabilities. And somebody said, what's the disability? My daughter was born with a brain injury. I've talked about this for many years. Sure. I can tell you more about it later. But they do this more often. Awesome. Kudos to Andretti's. The work we do with Sandlot and My Possibilities, obviously that's right up our alley. This is the Andretti's location at Grandscape. Really cool of them. So, hey, if you're out there and you see something like this happen in the world, there can always be another option to make sure somebody gets a cool experience. And that right there was one of my favorite experiences over the holidays.
That's awesome. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. Well, first of all, I want to know if everyone is aware that the Mavericks game starts at 10 p.m. tonight. But also, puck around and find out how will Jason Robertson respond following his Olympic snub. Both of those next on The Fan.
Fighting off is Jason Robertson. Turns to it. Shot. He scores.
Oh, my.
Jason Robertson out-muscled Toronto.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Do you want to start by pucking around and finding out and talking about Jason Robertson or the fact that the Mavericks game starts tonight at 10 p.m. Central?
What?
Yes, it is 10 p.m. Central, and I believe it's because the game is going to be on Peacock.
Do you have an issue with the start time?
Have
the login?
Okay, I don't think we're supposed to say that on air, but yes, there's definitely new things that show up on my Peacock as being watched all the time, and that is because Mike Bassett.
Why am I making... Hold on, what? You let somebody use your Peacock login?
He probably stole it.
How dare you? I don't know why I have decided that I will not have Peacock.
Oh, away for me.
This is the one. Oh, really?
Yeah, because they lost all their wrestling.
Okay.
It all popped. Most of it popped up on Netflix already, which is pretty cool.
This is the one place, Alec, that I've decided to put my foot down. I'm like, I will have Disney Plus. I will have Netflix. I will have Amazon.
Right.
But not you, Peacock. NBC has always been free. For some reason, I just decided this is the one. The new ones, I'm like, yeah, I'll pay for you. But the old ones, I'm like, no, you always gave me a free product, and now you're telling me that I have to pay for it? Ridiculous. But
so Peacock is Gladys at the dance, and you're like, meh,
yeah,
I don't want Gladys. I want this hot new thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and hold on to that one.
Damn it.
But the other thing, too, is... Then Fubo dropped NBC, and they had their problem, and so I've had no Sunday night football.
Oh no,
it was my own for quite some time.
Ah.
So I still have to find ways around it. So from the 3-2-1, Kevin, can I use your Peacock?
Man, I feel like I'll check what the limit is on that. But and you know what? You know what I used to
10 o'clock's ridiculous.
You know what I used to hate that Mike had my Peacock password. Is because Peacock used to be the absolute worst streaming service at getting rid of things in your queue. You know me. I need to have...
You don't have... All your emails are empty.
I need to have everything cleared out. Things that are up for me to watch are not enjoyable future things. It's like an assignment. And so if you watch like WrestleMania 17 or whatever, Alec, you have to go to the latest WrestleMania, run it all the way to the end, and you can't push it in the last minute. You have to let the last minute just evaporate. And then, and only then, would it clear out from your queue. Now, luckily, they added something finally, like 2 years after the fact, where you can just delete it in the app. But anyways, my point was the Mavericks play at 10 p.m. tonight against the Sacramento Kings, who are terrible. Except, of course, for the fact that you just freaking lost to them the other day. So there's that. Now,
but you get to play against Max Christie's dad, and that's what's important.
That is not his dad.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am sure.
A lot of people were texting in yesterday during our
Max Christie's dad is not Doug Christie.
Here's what I need to know: all those Tolos that were texting in yesterday, and that, hey, ask Max Christie about playing against his dad.
Hopefully now you know why we didn't ask that question.
And then Max Christie took a shot at how his dad was the worst in the family. Of all the people that were texting in, how many of them were trying to get us, catch us off guard? Or how many of them really legitimately thought that Doug Christie was his dad?
I think it's like 60-40 they thought that was his dad.
Okay. Because I think somebody was trying to set us up and be like, hey,
yeah, probably.
You dummies, y'all don't know any better. You have to Google stuff.
Probably. And yes, I think you can still also watch a Mavericks game on Channel 29 tonight. I'm just saying, I think that's why it's scheduled at the time it is. All right, let's park around and find out, talk about Jason Robertson. So Jason Robertson, his feelings are definitely hurt about not being on the Olympic team. He said, and I quote, "Yeah, I thought this year was different than last year. Obviously, last year I didn't think I was good enough for the Four Nations. Now I think I did. It's their choice, their decision. That's it. Obviously, it hurts your ego, but I'm not going to change the way I play. That's not going to stop me from doing that the rest of the season." Now, that part was really interesting to me because we talked about it. The perception is, or the perception was, that maybe people thought that he was soft. And that's why he didn't get picked for this spot. And so that part where he goes, "I'm not going to change the way I play," I thought was really interesting. And then Gullitson, he jumped in and he's like, "Look, he's our guy. He's our player. You're hoping for him. But I'm sure that not one of the 32 coaches doesn't think their guy should be on the team. And I know there are other people who think this is a good thing that some of your players get a break, especially since we talked about Fox earlier today going with the Czech Republic." Now, the next part of it is there's still like 5 weeks until the tournament. So there is thought that he's probably at the top of the list as an injury replacement. But catch this from Jason Robertson. He said on Saturday he doesn't know if he's on a reserve list from Team USA. Said there hasn't really been much communication between him and the national team at all.
Really?
So, like,
Not really at all. Not just since this.
No. Like, yeah. Because last year he made it clear, "I get it, why I wasn't on the Four Nations roster. I think this should have been different." Some people will argue that the construction of the national rosters, not only for the United States, but for other countries as well, are kind of lazy. Mm. And they kind of carried over maybe too many people from the Four Nations. But to hear him say, "We haven't really talked too much at all," that feels disrespectful.
Yes, it absolutely is disrespectful. It doesn't just feel, it is. I do wonder if Jim Nill was like, "Hey, America, I know I'm working over here with Canada. Please don't put Jason Robertson
right
in that list." Because you don't want Jason Robertson injured.
Sure.
And also, isn't he in a contract season?
Yes.
He's got
some
stuff to work through here.
Yes, he is.
So there's a lot going on here. Obviously, playing for your country and having that chance to win a gold's huge.
Yeah.
He would love to do it. The part about him not changing his playing style, that's interesting to
me.
Why are you interested in it? Because
I'm interested in it.
I might be a little bit different.
Okay, because it feels like he knows the perception of him. And
he's soft.
Yeah, then it sounds like he kind of disagrees with that. And so we've already talked about it. Like, he's shown more physicality. It's not like at an elite level, but that's never going to be who he is. But he's shown more physicality this year. So I'm intrigued because it sounds like he's like, "Yeah, that's fine. Take a look at my numbers." It feels like Cignetti's moment of,
Google me. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I thought we might be differing in opinion on that. I've been watching him more this year, and it does feel like he's leaned in a little more to what Miko's done and what this Stars team needs.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't prove that until the playoffs. And if they ever win a game again, who knows?
Hopefully tonight.
Yeah.
Their game's at 6 o'clock, if that helps people out.
So much better. 6 o'clock on Peacock, baby.
I believe it's on TNT.
All right. You can watch it on TNT then.
Hmm. Thank you, Kevin. Or HBO Max.
Appreciate that.
Did you lose track of what you were going to say because of that?
Yeah, a little bit. I'll Google it. I think, though, that the continued growth of him as a player, one day he's going to be in that position.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he continues to get to that level where he shows the physicality. Kevin, the Four Nations showed that they weren't just there to screw around. And that might have been a thing. The Kachucks, the way that they went out there and just leveled people like the Mighty Ducks brothers, that might be the thing where they're like, "We need players like that." and you're not willing to do that. And if you're not, I do think he's changed his playing style a little bit, though. And he's fallen in with what Glenn Gullinson wants from him, too. Here are the places we think you're at your best.
Yeah.
Use those over and over. Pour it on that way. I'm hopeful for him. I'm disappointed for him, too, though.
Now, next part of this. How is he going to respond? What's the knock outside the physicality we were just talking about? What's the reason that some Stars fans are hesitant to give him a big-time extension?
Because he's soft.
And?
Injuries.
Playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Soft. Well, when I say soft, it is the playoffs that we looked at. We're like, okay, here's what happens in the playoffs, Kevin. The game gets faster. The speed of the opponents is faster, too, which means the windows that were very wide open are closed. Sometimes you have to create the space with your body.
Yeah.
And Jason Robertson, we've been like, where is that? Where is that? It's missing. He did a little bit late in the playoffs last year that showed us, oh, he's still there. And hopefully that version of him comes back.
So I'm here to push against maybe some narratives. So in his third real season, Robertson set the Dallas Stars franchise record with 109 points. And that was the first year of his new current contract. So I just want to, if people are worried about like, oh, is he taking off because it's a contract year? This last go around when he had his epic season, he had already signed his new deal. And that's what he did in the first year of the new deal.
Okay, let's take that one thing then.
Okay.
Kevin, what are my three great motivating factors? One.
Revenge.
Revenge, which I don't want Jason Robertson to get revenge on the Stars.
I am concerned about
that. Two, and this is in no particular order, fun babies. Look, sometimes it happens. And three, and babies are expensive, Alec.
Ugh.
Three, contract season.
Yep.
He is the anti-contract season.
Okay.
So re-sign this guy to a new contract every year.
I don't know if that will work. Okay. I did actually crunch some of the numbers, but I want to talk about the postseason, and when people change their perspective, all right? So 2021-22, Robertson was second on the team in postseason points. Next year, he was second on the team in points, but that was his year where he scored all of the points and all of the goals for the Stars. He was only third on the team in goals, and I think folks were expecting more that season, all right? So that season in the postseason was a letdown. But 2023-24, Jason Robertson was tied for first on the team in postseason points. So these three, like, first playoff runs, second on the team in postseason points, second again, and then first. But here is the issue.
He had 16 points
in that season.
That's bad. That was down from the year before.
Okay, but here's where I think the narrative really stuck to him. 2022-23, he was amazing. Greatest offensive season in the history of the Dallas Stars. But only third on the team in goals in the postseason. So I think people really thought they would carry over. But it was the next year. While he had he was tied for first in points, he only had 6 goals in 19 games in the playoffs. And so that feels like that's never going to cut it. And so when you look at that, I feel like that season locked in the narrative that Jason Robertson is not great in the playoffs.
I think also he had 46 shots on goal in that playoff run in 19 games.
Yeah.
And there were, how many times did we go, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Especially in the playoffs.
The goal doesn't have to be perfect.
Shoot it.
Just shoot the puck. Trust yourself. Be the ball and throw yourself. And that was, I think that was, Kevin, where that kind of stuck, where we were like, why are you waiting? It's not going to always be a perfect window.
Yeah.
And then Madonna came out last year and said, hey, the windows get smaller in the playoffs, boys.
Well, and they get smaller in the Western Conference Finals. I'm going to get to that in just one second. But Robertson wasn't good to go last year in the playoffs until the second round. Remember, he had the injury before the end of the regular season, and that really sucked. But in his first 8 playoff games last year, he had no goals and 2 assists. And then after that, he scored 4 of the Stars' 5 goals in their last 3 games against Edmonton. But unfortunately, they were getting their asses kicked in most of those games, and those didn't feel like high-pressure goals. So let's focus in on the Western Conference Finals. You've been to the Western Conference Finals 3 years in a row and obviously lost 3 years in a row. First year you made it, 5 goals in 6 games, but also 1 assist. So you only average 1 point per Western Conference final game in a season where you had the greatest offensive season ever for a Dallas Stars player. Next year, 3 goals in 6 games. All in the same game, though. They were all in the same game. So if you look at all those other goals, no goals and one assist. So outside of a hat trick, which is incredible in the Western Conference Finals, no goals, one assist. And then last year, in the first two games of the Western Conference Final, before you really got run off the ice, no goals and one assist in the first two games. So I'm not here to tell you the narrative is not valid. I think it is valid, and I think 2 years ago is where it locked in, and the Western Conference Finals is what is what people really remember. But I think he still's got a shot to break away from that, and I think this Olympic snub is going to go a long way for that.
69 hits in the playoffs, Kevin.
Nice.
I would like more.
Oh, for sure.
Like that physical part
for
of
sure.
things, you know.
For sure.
That's the part that I would like to see a little bit more. Hey, I don't need you going out there and leveling everybody.
Yeah.
Finish your checks.
Yes.
You know, like finish those things that make sure you clear people out. Yeah. Don't give them any space.
And then another day, because I did some nerd salary cap numbering, maybe we can pick that up another day about keeping Jason Robertson.
I mean, maybe when the Mavericks aren't playing at 10 o'clock. What are they doing?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Empty gun, snap the dart. All kinds of time. Now he's rushed. Now he's sacked by Ezeraku. There is a flag in the pocket. Ezeraku, this would, I think, be only his second sack of the year. Ezeraku was the first one saying, decline it. I want my sack.
Personal foul, tripping, offense, number 71. 15-yard penalty remains first down.
There goes your sack, Easy.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where if you can't tell, we were having a lot of fun in the break. But right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is it today?
Doing well, Higgy. Back-to-back days. Good Cowboys days.
I love it.
Here we go.
Woo! You guys want to talk about Eberflus, lemonade, politics? What are you thinking?
Lemonade would be good.
Okay. Oh, also, do you like my tease for the very first segment? Looks like Uberflus needs a lift.
It's impressive.
Nailed it.
It's really impressive.
Very good.
It's very excited.
Yeah, they gave you your props for it too. You know.
So I have to admit, I fell for the everybody's saying this one thing about how continuity is important, and I was like, all right, well, I guess results be damned. We're gonna keep it going, and then this morning, canned.
Yeah, you know, and I think something more important than continuity in the NFL today, and it's a stark lesson here that hopefully the Jones boys takes to heart, is just how you're going to match up your coaching philosophy, your scheme with your personnel.
Yeah.
Like, that's so much more important than continuity. And, you know, I mean, I guess no coach could have really figured this group out once Diggs was who Diggs was this year and Bland was dealing with his foot injury and you didn't have a pass rush coming off the edge. It was going to be real tough sled. Then you throw a middle linebacker disaster in there. And
that's a good way to put that.
But still, it didn't have to be as bad as it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Do you think they'll make the bold yet sensible decision to find somebody who could fit the talent?
I hope so. I mean, I hope that's something that they've learned. Like, if we've got core pieces in place that we believe in moving forward, we need to make sure when we're interviewing said candidates that they've got a plan. Like, what are you going to do with Deron Bland to get him back to where he was? Hopefully he's healthy.
Is that person Jim Leonard?
I think so. I mean, look, Bobby's been on this in terms of there's a lot of affinity for him in the building, and I think anytime you're looking at, well, who are the best defenses in the league? Denver, Houston right now. Now, personnel has a lot to do with that,
sure.
But I always do like, who can I poach from those staffs? And Jim Leonard is a guy that is really highly thought of, worked his way up from Wisconsin, has done an excellent job in Denver, and really has gotten the most out of young defensive backs in Denver as well. You know, they've been able to have immediate success. So I think tomorrow, hopefully, they're interviewing Jim Leonard. They can't block it because he's an assistant head coach, which is great news. Now, Aiden Durdy can be blocked by Seattle if they want to interview him, because that would be a lateral move as defensive coordinator, even though he's not the play caller. But I think Jim Leonard and Jim Schwartz, the two Jims, those would be the two guys that I would absolutely love.
And I have to admit, the reason why I like this move outside of the disaster that was the defense is they made fairly quick, decisive decision that allows them to be in the conversation. I don't know if they'll hire Leonard or whoever, but I like that they will at least be in the conversation to potentially hire these people instead of the leftovers.
What's their budget for a defensive coordinator?
Should be $12 million. Who cares?
There's no salary cap.
How many times, you don't know the size of the check I would write. All right, and tell Brian Flores you'll give him $25 million a year.
A guy
like
guys who have been head coaches that were let go earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They are still. They have a bit of cash from the previous contract they had, right? And so the Cowboys knew that, and they were like, "We can give this guy what $1-3 million, whatever the number is, because they still have this money left over from the contract. That's why they could get head coaches in. So are they still in that place where they're like, "We're just going to go find a former head coach that might have just got released. We'll pay him. You know, we'll bottom feed him." And yeah. Or are they going to say, no, it doesn't matter. Whatever the money costs, we got to go make sure we make a big change.
I'd keep an eye on Jeff Ulbrich from Atlanta is who I'd keep an eye on, because him and I think they want to keep White Cotton as their defensive coordinator. And Ulbrich and White Cotton were together with the Jets. I think you're going to get some kind of push from the offensive side of the ball with the offensive line coach. He's going to push for Gannon because they were together.
Okay.
But I would keep an eye on those guys.
Ulbrich was there with Saleh, right? Is he running a Saleh type?
Yeah, he
defense?
Took over as the interim head coach when they fired Bob.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Defense kind of got much worse after that too.
It did, didn't it?
But Atlanta's defense started to figure some things out this year.
Yeah.
They drafted two edge rushers in the first round.
Two edges, and they got Xavier Watts. That's safety in the second.
That's right.
Yeah, there's some pieces to place that evidently there's a young and upcoming linebacker coach too. That's I'll grab the name for you, but there's some guys on this Atlanta staff that seems to fit what the Cowboys might be looking at right now. So we'll see how that plays. I did talk to a defensive coordinator in the league, and I asked him. I go, who are the guys that you would really like? And he was pretty adamant about Jim Schwartz. Is who he was pretty adamant about.
Heck yes.
He wasn't as adamant about Gannon, and he did not know much about, or he did not know personally who what our guy in Minnesota. He didn't. He goes, I don't know him personally, but the guys I know, he was kind of saying that Jim Schwartz would make a lot of sense.
I don't know if we can make like big sweeping generalizations, but I never thought that the Cowboys would move this quickly on that.
They were worried about the fact that all of a sudden there were going to be a bunch of openings of head coaches, and they would lose the potential to talk to coordinators. All of a sudden these guys don't have a coordinator in mind when they go in and interview. Then all of a sudden, magically, all of a sudden Gannon ends up with a new head coach. Or Schwartz ends up with a new head coach, and you're waiting around 10, 12 days, you know, thinking about, oh, we need to make a coaching change. I think this came from the head coach. I think he saw the landscape of what was about to happen.
Good.
And he told the Joneses, The Joneses actually agreed with him, like, yeah, we need to get on this thing right now, not wait around.
I love it.
I love a coach with a plan of action.
Yeah, I love
that. That's awesome.
I love that speed. I can't wait to see what happens next. Gentlemen, what do you got coming up on the program today?
Before we get there, you guys can appreciate this. May the Schwartz be with you. Do you always think of that?
May the Schwartz be with you.
Pure Gold as always. Heggie, thanks for asking. 4 o'clock, we're going to have Mashota join us.
Fun side fact, I just watched Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles for the first time ever in the past couple of days.
Wow.
Roll home.
Productive
with the
couple
G,
days.
That's right. With the G-Bag Nation, we've been the KNC Masterpiece. I know Corey should have been working right here on 105.3 The Fan.
You think Blazing Saddles could run today? Or?
Oh my gosh, no.
Probably not.